Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. This one is number 51. Hey, according to Phil Liggett, that's Eddie Merckx's favorite number. Also, the number I wore in high school for basketball. I had no idea who Eddie Merckx was or Phil Liggett. Just a coincidence. It was prescient to a life in bikes or something. Anyway, this is episode 51 of Crosshairs Radio, and we have another They Don't Do That in Europe. It's Scott Diedenbach's back. It's good to have him back. It was great to have Scott Herman here for episode 50, if you haven't listened to that one. But good to have Scott back and driving the show, which means that we are only an hour and a half instead of the marathon 2+ hours we did last week, which is a good thing, but it is chock full even of information. We talk about Derby City Cup, we talk about Rudevorda, we talk about St. Nicholas, and a lot of other tangential things thrown in there, and we even get a history lesson at the end about Detroit Civil War forts. This episode is once again brought to you by Cantu Cycling Wheels. Small business in Texas, quality and hand-built craftsmanship that goes into each wheel, and it lets you up. They let you upgrade your wheels without breaking the bank. You want those nice carbon hoops? You're going from cantilever to discs. You need a through axle on there, whatever spoke patterns you need, they're going to set you up. They're going to do it right. They're going to build it to your specifications. If you're a big guy, you're definitely going to get a different wheel than if you're a tiny guy. So they take all of that into consideration. They have a 2-year limited warranty on all of their wheels. They even, if you get in touch with them, you know, they'll work with you on crash replacement. They're not going to shy away from that as well. Not going to say it's going to be free, but they're going to work out something with you to make sure that you're up and running again. So really great business. Go check them out at cantuwheels.com. Let them know that Crosshairs Radio sent them to you. Maybe, who knows, maybe they'll give you a little break off of a set of new wheels. So Cantu Wheels, really happy to have them back on board. Along with Cantu Wheels, Health IQ, sponsoring the show again this week. Life insurance, you need it. It's one of those things that, you know, not for you, but for your dependents, for everyone else that relies on you in your life. And Health IQ wants to deal with people with healthy lifestyles. It's better for them and it's better for you. You know, they can go out there and find the best rates, get you the best benefits possible for life insurance at a lower cost, but you get more in the end if that time ever comes. What I need you all to do is to go to healthiq.com/CXHairs, and there's a short questionnaire there, and then just go through the steps. You're not obligated to get anything. It's just getting more information and learning about the company and about what they offer. So healthiq.com/CXHairs. All right, I did that a lot shorter this time, so you're welcome. And enjoy the show. David Palin, Scott Diedenbach, as always, Scott's going to take over from here, and he's going to do that right now.
You guys ready?
Did you listen to the last episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
The entire thing. Why?
I was just wondering how I did trying to imitate you in the beginning.
It was terrible.
I thought I gave up after a second.
Yeah, it lasted about 3 words and it was like, okay, I'm done. It was funny. All right, let's get this thing rolling or we're never going to be done. We're already past my bedtime. All right, everybody, we are back for another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. With me, as always, on the left this time, Mr. David Palin.
Good late afternoon, everyone.
Late afternoon? Are you serious?
Oh, no. Well, you already took your nap for the day, didn't you?
No time.
Oh, no.
And of course, with us, as always, CX Hairs himself, Bill Shiken. Bill, what's up?
Hey, Scott, how are you? How's your big empty house?
Yes. So this is funny, you guys. We're talking about the Aussies, as probably most of the listeners know. I've had the two Australian guys with me for the last 8 weeks, traveling around the U.S. scene, racing all the UCI races in the U.S. It was a blast. But I took them to the airport. I dropped them off at the airport at, it's 9 p.m. right now when we're recording on Thursday. I took them to the airport at 3 in the afternoon on Wednesday. I just got a text from Tom about an hour ago. He was getting on his last flight.
Oh, God.
It's like wow. They live on the other side of the world.
I'm like, oh my! It's been over a day since I dropped him off at the airport, and he's just getting on his last flight.
Well, at least they're going back in time, so they have that going for them.
No, they're going. It'll be.
No, they're going forward in time.
Yeah, they left on Wednesday. Right. They arrive on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy, crazy. But no, glad to hear that they've made it to Sydney at least. They're just a little jump home, and just what an awesome time we had with them. If anyone has a chance and they want to see the trip, just go to Chris Aitken's YouTube page. He was putting up videos of our travels the whole time. And some of them are really good. Obviously, the one that we did, Bill, with you, that one's great. And before they left on I think it was Monday night before they left, we sat down and watched them all from beginning to end.
Oh,
and
excellent.
It was just awesome.
The Louisville one was very, very good, too. The way they finally got some guest commentators.
Yes. And there's going to be one final one that he's going to do once he gets home with some stuff he shot here on the last day and then about their trip home. So that will all be good. So if people
spell Aitken for everyone so they know how to find him.
Yeah, it's Aitken. And he has a YouTube channel and you can just follow that there and check those out. So
high quality video, too. Not just like hack jobs. Let's say he does a great job there.
No, yeah, it's really well edited stuff.
Sorry there, Bill, but it's, a lot of the time
you don't even have to say it. I know it's directed at me.
It wasn't, but okay. I want to take it that way. No, the point being that a lot of times people just kind of throw these things together and you get all this blurred stuff. Like when I used to put up videos when I was racing and stuff, you hear all the chatter of the bike in the background and stuff. These guys, they produce a good video. And it's not just like one continuous shot.
And when we watched the whole thing end to end, it was like an hour and 45 minutes. Like a feature film length. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. So, once again, just great having them here. And it was just a blast. And hope to see those guys again for some amount of time next year.
Just some amount of time. Huh?
I don't think they don't know if they're going to be able to come for two entire months next time.
That's a long
chunk of time to just take out of your life to come and do that. So, we'll see. We'll see. So. I got to give it up to you guys. Thank you for all the compliments last week, man. You made it sound like I know what I'm doing when we do this show.
Well, yeah, you do. We were rudderless.
And let's say thanks to Scott Herman, of course.
Yeah, he was our rudder.
The brilliant Scott Herman.
He stepped in and did a fine job. It was a different kind of show. It wasn't like having you there, but he did a fine job sitting in.
And it was great listening too, because Scott and I ran into each other at Cincy like all weekend long, and we're chatting and stuff all weekend long. So a lot of the stuff he was talking about, I was like right there for. So it was great. It was a great listen. Good show, guys.
And now we have MDVP.
MDVP, we got a
Riz,
whole.
I think the whole thing, man.
Don't you? I mean, it really shows when someone makes a nickname of a nickname.
Yeah,
that's just next level, man. I mean, that's. So
it's just letters at this point. You know, it's not even a single vowel.
Right. I'm just
full on consonants, and it doesn't even make sense. That's the beauty of it. Where's the V come from? MDVP.
David.
It's the V in David. I guess.
That's what it is.
Yeah. You got to have a van in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Mr. David Van.
Van Palen. Yeah.
Mr. David Van Palen. There it is.
Yeah.
So
I am
guys.
Learning Dutch, by the way.
Great.
You
can do all the names that coming up then.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little more when we talk about Waslandercross, but all the Dutch I now know. It's oi, 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 oi. Just pull that out now.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, we want to talk about, we're going to start out with Derby City Cup, of course. Let's start with Saturday was the C1. We're going to do the men first since we did the women first last time I was on. First place was Stephen Hyde. Second place, Tobin Ortenblad. Third place, Kerry Warner. Fourth place, Alan Krugoff. Fifth place, Curtis White. Finally, we got a race with no rain. And the entire weekend, I was very happy.
Was it so? Was this another setup in the rain deal that you've been doing all season long?
No, this was the first weekend.
Oh, so not at all.
Long with absolutely no rain, beginning to end. Warm temperatures, wearing shorts, short sleeves. So, it was awesome, awesome stuff. So what, I just want to talk a little bit about the course. One of the things about the course was it was much different setup at Eva Banman than like what the Worlds course was when Worlds was there. Very technical, tight, small turning in the woods there. A lot of, you know, like I said, technical stuff where you couldn't get up a lot of speed. But still, of course, had the fast start, the fast, you know, the sharp left onto the grass down to do the loop and then back up into the, you know, the woods and the stairs there. And then, of course, the stone stairs and all that stuff. And then it looks like right at the end where you came up out of the woods back onto the pavement, it looks like they changed that a little bit. That was much steeper than it typically was in the past. So I think it changed. It made a lot of people run that. So that was there, but overall, and the surface was really hard, you know, it was really hard. People running higher pressures a little bit than normal, much, lower tread tires, you know, file treads. I was talking to, Garrett Hine, who is the mechanic for Spencer Petroff, and Spencer was running, Dune tires, you know, the new Challenge file tread. So a lot of file treads and stuff like that. So, that added to it, you know, made it a cool race. And then, of course, Stephen Hyde coming out on first. I mean, he's just looking like the strongest guy in the U.S. once again. Tobin showing his strength coming in second. You know, I think that was great. And, you know, Powers just was way back all day. Didn't look great from the pit where I was seeing him and was fighting his way up basically all day long. So overall, great day, great time. I really liked it. The men's race was pretty awesome. Did you guys have any thoughts on it? Read anything about it or anything?
I did. I got Ethan Gladen put up a really nice post up on, or I put it up for him on CX Hairs, one of the big pictures from Derby City Cup. And what he was able to do this time, which I really loved, was he, for most of the top riders, he was able to get pretty extensive quotes from them. So all the captions to these photos really tell the story of what went on. I went back and picked up a couple more for him. One was from Jeremy. And, you know, it's interesting. He's just for how he was struggling is that, one, the speed, you know, is not something that he's ready for. And he said he's still hurt. You know, his ribs still hurt, still taking time, but it's also just not being able to train. Sort of what we were talking about with Katie Compton last week.
Yeah, where sure. Very similar.
It's not only, you know, not being able to, you know, perform in races, not being able to train to do that performance. So he's still, you know, getting to that point where he's able to hurt himself in training to be able to put out those efforts on the weekend. And he still has some time to go. But I think that, you know, he was... I think, you know, he's always a positive guy, and I think just having these setbacks and having high just, you know, rising above is something that he's looking at as a new challenge, and is still, you know, he's not throwing in the towel. The guy, you know, he still wants to get healthy and feels like he'll be back to where he has been in the past.
Yeah, and ironically, cool. He's got kind of a dog in the fight with Hyde. You know, it's kind of that bittersweet, I would imagine, for him to be beaten by him, but if you're going to be beaten by somebody... It's great that you're beaten by somebody that you've worked so hard with and kind of brought along.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. You know, and just to add to that, what he was saying on top of that, which I liked, was it wasn't just the physical, it's the mental. He's got like this mental fight now to be able to go that hard again and hurt himself, you know, while racing.
Yeah.
So getting, and that, I think we heard that from, I forget who was saying it as well, that that's a big part of it as well. You know, being able to, that's part of the training also. The other quote that I really liked was from Kerry Warner, who was talking about how he and Tobin and Steven all went out on a training ride together on Thursday. and, you know, had a really good time. And it's sort of cool that they're able to go out and do that. But then, you know, on Saturday, Hyde saw them all at the line. He was like, hey, we might have gone out and ridden on Thursday and been friends, but I don't know you all today.
Yeah.
And we would expect nothing less, right?
Kerry sort of finished that off. So, like, we all knew he was going to go. We just didn't know when. So then it was just going to be a fight for second place.
Yeah. And then Alan Krugoff there in fourth. Now, last week you guys mentioned and Scott mentioned about the crash that Krugoff got in at the Cincy course at DeVue. And it was interesting. I know Scott wasn't there. I just wanted to talk about that for a second. I was about probably 40 or 50 yards from where that happened. And I wasn't looking in that direction. I was looking in the opposite direction. And when that guy, Krugoff, was just out riding the course, the guy comes, there's a slight downhill on this paved, like, road that crossed the course. This guy, just not paying attention, comes flying right through that, never thinking that he's crossing the course. And when they hit, I mean, it sounded like a car accident.
Oof.
You know, like this loud sound, you know, this loud crashing sound and people hitting stuff. And I mean, I was like, holy crap. I thought it was a car hitting something. And I'd turn around and there's these two guys on the ground with their bikes. I was like, holy crap, man. So yeah, that was a really, really, could have been a really serious accident. But it was good to see Krugoff just kind of roll away from that and kind of went and got patched up and back at it. And obviously, he's still in good form. I mean, getting fourth that day,
that's a good result.
So, yeah. So, all right, we'll move on to anything else about the men?
Do you know which day it was that, I'm just looking at the quote, that Hyde got a stick in his rear derailleur and had to stop and...
I do not, no.
Yeah, so that's just...
It might have been the second day that he pitted.
Okay, it was like with five laps to go. But he just, you know, it's interesting too, just hearing this from Hyde, is that in the past, I think that would have been like a huge sort of freak out moment for him. But that he's able and confident enough now that he was like calmly able to pull over, get the stick out of his derailleur, get to the pit, get a new bike, put it on a new attack, be able to, you know, regain and then attack and take the lead. And it's just, it's really been fun this year just to see the evolution of Steven Hyde. And now what's going to be really neat is that he's packed up and heading over to Europe for the rest of the season. So this is the big test. You know, we've all seen him rise to the top of the U.S. scene and do it in a dominant fashion. And he's got himself in the top 10 in the world, and now we get to see what happens next.
And he's going to be over there all the way till U.S. Nationals. Is that the deal?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's going to be something, to see him over there. And it's going to be cool looking for his name. I mean, seeing how he does over there. I think he'll do well. I hope he does well.
Yeah, he should have a front row start on a lot of these races.
Yeah, and like you said, Bill, clear sign of maturity. So,
Has he raced over there in the past?
Yeah. Yeah, and
he spent blocks of time.
He has, and he's a kind of guy. You know, if you know his background, he's kind of got this like vagabond background. He's not afraid just to pack up a very few belongings and go to a new place and you know, figure it out. So he actually likes that kind of stuff. He likes going over to Europe and likes, you know, dealing with the conditions and all that kind of stuff. It's not something that I know for some people it gets them down and sort of out of their structure. It's something that I think he thrives on. So, right. So that'll be, yeah. So I think it wasn't last year, but the year before that, he even stayed a couple weeks after Worlds and raced throughout
February. That's right. I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, well, let's move on to the women. In first place for the elite women was Katarina Nash. Second place was Katie Compton. Third place, Emma White. Fourth place, Courtney McFadden. Fifth place, Caroline Mani. Now, one of the things you guys talked about last weekend was, the previous weekend's racing was, you know, the Katie Compton, Katarina Nash duo, you know, obviously they ride out way, way ahead of everybody else in the field. And it was funny at Sunday at Cincinnati at Kings, you know, obviously Nash won. And at the time I was thinking at least, you know, well, Katie just raced yesterday really hard, you know, at DeVue. And so we'll see what happens when they both come in with equal rest. which is what happened Saturday. And Katarina Nash just says, wait a minute, I'm still really, really fast, guys, and I'm going to take this one. So very not so much surprising, but I thought Compton would have a little bit more at that race and be able to beat Nash. Didn't quite happen. But at the same time, watching them race, watching Katie Compton race, she still looks like she's got another gear she can go to when she wants to. Yeah. I don't know. Watching her race both days at Louisville, I don't know that we've seen Katie Compton at full speed for a full race yet.
Yeah, it was,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what Ethan was able to grab from her, and I'm sorry, I don't know if this is from Saturday or Sunday. It was the two of them for both days, right? Or
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That I think she played it tactically a little wrong, where they both were looking for the sprint, and Katie decided to attack. And she said she attacked too soon, like at the last sand pit, going into the little stair jump, and
yeah,
that sort of failed, and Katarina was able to match her there, and then just put in an effort and go by her. So So I think you're right, Scott. It may not be necessarily. You know, I think Katarina's always going to be strong. I mean, she's just a phenomenal rider, but maybe in this instance, it wasn't a question of being outpowered, but maybe out-strategized.
Yes. Yeah. And I think too, when we get into tougher courses over in Europe, I think that's going to move things more into Compton's backyard and play into her skills a little bit more. And we'll really see some, good stuff from Katie Compton, because she sure, you know what, at the races that I've been seeing her at all weekend, she sure looks like she's having fun again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just her and Mark. They got their car. They were right close to us both days at Louisville. They got their car, their little trailers, just the two of them. They pull up. They had Pixie with them, their dog, you know, so you can tell they're just out having, they're playing with the dog out in the parking lot, you know, and you can see them just having a great time, and that she's just really having fun this season. So
yeah,
really,
I mean,
great to see.
The only thing they wanted at DCCX was there was just like, just make sure we had a good parking spot. And I'm like, There are no bad parking spots. You'll see. Wherever you want to go, it's fine.
Right.
But that was it. That was like her big concern for the weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And on day one there, Emma White getting third place. That was really cool. She looked really fast. Nice to see that. Courtney, of course, got fourth place. So I was kind of really paying attention to Emma there in third place while I was pitting for Courtney. And she just had it that day and was going to get third place. And wasn't going to catch Nash and Compton, but had a firm grasp on third place that day, and just showed that she can get it done too. So good job by her.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got? Anything else about the women that we want to talk about? Anyone else you guys want to mention or say anything about? Oh, well, I'll wait till Sunday. And I just want to mention real quick, in eighth place, Sunny Gilbert, because I'm going to talk about her.
Okay.
When we talk about Sunday. So,
All right.
Well, one other thing on the 5th, November 5th, which was the Saturdays, there was a junior race, a UCI junior race. And just real quickly, I just kind of wanted to mention the top three names. Lane Maher, I should say, got first place.
Oh, my
Denzel
hours.
Stevenson and Benjamin Gomez Villafane got third. So I just want to start mentioning these juniors. These are a lot of guys that we haven't heard a lot of.
Oh, David and I know Lane.
Oh, we probably talked
we know
about
Lane.
Them.
Lane. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Lane, I want my $2 there.
Language lessons. Spoken from a man who knows how to ride a bike.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
That's
all right,
makes
Scott,
it so good.
Your homework is to go, I'm going to say this every week, go watch the movie Better Off Dead, John Cusack, and then report back here next week.
But anyways, I just want to start talking about these guys, just mentioning them a little bit. See, as we have, you know, these younger guys moving in, mostly 17-year-olds, we'll see what happens with them as we go on. So, all right, that's all I wanted to mention about them. So let's move on to Sunday was a C2. Also great weather. Eva Bandmann is just a great place for cyclocross. Don't you guys agree? I just love it there.
You know, as long as the water's not there,
as long as the pipes underground don't break, you know, everything's great. All right, so for the men, in first place was Stephen Hyde against second place Jeremy Powers, just 6 seconds off the pace. Third place, Tobin Ortenblad. Fourth place, Alan Krugoff. And fifth place, Cody the Kid Kaiser.
That's a nice result. That is a nice result. Hey, I got a question for you. With the one, was the course the same on Sunday as it was on Saturday? Or did they change
it
at all?
The course was mostly the same. I think there was one tiny change that I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of pretty insignificant part of the course that a few people mentioned, but now I can't remember exactly what it was. But basically, the same.
It seemed like there was a little pushback maybe on all of the twisty turny parts that were added in. What were you hearing? What did you?
Are we talking about the 180 in the sand?
Maybe.
You can't have a 180 in the sand. What are you talking about?
You can't have a 180 degree turn in the sand. Why is that allowed? I don't know why that's allowed. Good question.
Let's ask Mr. Rulebook.
Who's that?
That's you, Scotty D.
Yeah. That's not me.
I can tell you at Charm City, I think day one there may have been, and then some people complained and it got moved out of there. So maybe that's the level we're at. There has to be, you can do whatever you want until there's a rider protest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. There was a 180 in the sand, and they were talking about maybe moving the turn beyond the sand. So
yeah, which I think is what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, you just basically went off the volleyball courts onto the grass, did the turn, and then came back through. So, I don't know. I don't know why it's allowed.
I don't know either because, and I know that the sort of what's coming out of that is that the UCI commissaires in the U.S. maybe aren't looking at the rule book as closely as they should, which sort of goes contrary to what, as UCI directors, and granted, I am part of a team that is a new UCI race, only our second year, but we see it where it's, I think the complaint has always been that the U.S. Officials want to clamp down on the rules even harder than they do in Europe, and we see things in these European races that we would never be able to get away with. However, this year, I think maybe it is swinging back the other way. I mean, I've seen a lot of C2 and a few C1 races with 180 turns in them.
Yeah.
Without the little triangles.
It's almost like they're sticklers about some rules, but not the others. And as a race director, you got to sit there and go, okay, what rules are going to be enforced to the letter this week? I don't think technically that sand was exactly a 180. It wasn't just a fence out with a pole at the end.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it wasn't like in the spirit of a 180?
It was in the spirit of a 180, but it wasn't technically a 180. Yeah, it was
like 179.
Yeah,
181.
Exactly. There was a bit of a wrap.
There
to
definitely
that.
Is stuff that is up to interpretation. I know that in the DCCX post-mortem, we had a little feature in our course that we may not be able to have again after the our UCI official gave it it had more time to think about it after we gave her a really good sales pitch on why it was okay, and it was able, and it was in there for the weekend, that it may not be back, but we had a log.
What's the matter with a log?
Was it greater than 40 centimeters tall?
Well, if we had another log, we could have just used them in place of our planks, and maybe we'll do that. Last year, we were like, hey, this log was just here. We found it. It's a natural obstacle part of the course. And I think later on, maybe the pieces of rebar that were keeping it stable weren't just naturally there.
Yeah. Or that big drag part with the four by four that there.
We did not put it on the course though. We found it there.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know.
We just wanted it to stay there.
That is all just to say that, I think some of these things are up to interpretation
I'm just gonna throw this out here from a longtime listener that goes back to probably all the way back to the bike shop show days, but at least to cyclocross today. Nope, back to bike shop show days. A longtime listener puts out there to us, 180 degree turns are not allowed in the sand, except in the USA where commissaires are afraid to enforce the rules. talk about that in your show, Mr. David Fallon.
I think we just did.
This throws out he or she, the listener.
Yes, protect this person's identity.
Right. The list goes on. Non-regulation pits, barrier tape between service and race lanes. Ultimately, the point he makes is a great point, and that is, with as many UCI races that we have, more races than any other nation, we need to improve the quality of our U.S. races, or just have them be your neighborhood races, and they're not UCI standard races.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
Well, I mean, one of the things that this unnamed longtime listener, I believe, also had a problem with, which, Scott, is something that
How do you even know who it is?
I just through osmosis. I'm guessing if this is the same person. If not, it's some other unnamed longtime listener. was the solid fence between service and race lanes. And
Yeah, I agree. That needs to be there more than a rope for sure.
Right.
And just, I think the pits in general are the pits in the UCI, what we're calling UCI races here in the US are not, they need to be improved. If you can't have a pit in that, those kind of shape at a UCI race. I think the worst that I've seen all season was KMC by far. Nothing else even close to as bad as that. And the best was this weekend at Louisville. The Louisville pit is outstanding. It's basically still a World Cup pit. You know, you've got tons of lanes all with the gates in between them and with the washers at the far end. And it's just awesome. It's perfect. So, you know, and then you got everything in between, you know.
And I know pits are your mainstay. They're your office.
I spend a lot of time there. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. but I just want to warn you ahead of time. We got Matt Anthony cyclocross race this weekend.
I know what to expect.
Coming into that, but that's a USAC. It will meet USAC standards, but there will not be hard fencing to demarcate each.
Which is fine if you're not a UCI race.
And we're not a UCI race.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's also at that level of racing. Few guys, most guys, if they have anything, they get a set of wheels. They, you know, make a little teepee out of them and put them in the pit.
Yeah.
Are there like cannonballs or something lining the outside of the pit?
No, because the cannonballs are used for the starting gun.
Oh.
Yes. Starts with a cannon.
It starts with a cannon.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Certainly so, hope there's not an actual cannonball in there when they're firing that thing off.
No, it's just for one round. I'm not telling you which one it is. It's kind of like
it's a
drug testing.
It's a preem.
That's right. It's an incentive to go fast from the gun, so to speak.
All right. Anything else you guys want to mention? Two good showings by Alan Krugoff, 2 fourth place. So very, very cool there. And Tobin again showing that Tobin has turned into one of the top guys in the country this year, I think. After winning U23 Nationals last year, he basically did not stop and has just moved into one of the guys you're looking for at every single elite men's race now. So.
Yeah, I think he's transitioned well.
Yeah. I'd say. Okay, for the women on Sunday, C2 in first place was Katarina Nash once again. Second place, Katie Compton. Third place, Courtney McFadden. Fourth place, Amanda Miller. Fifth place, Caroline Mani. Now, we had the same thing with Katarina Nash and Compton getting out ahead of everybody. Then I think it was Caroline Mani was chasing for a while. Courtney was able to catch Caroline, and it was awesome. I mean, she just like kept going. Caroline couldn't stay with her, and Courtney started putting time into her. I was like, holy crap, this is awesome. And you know, that gap just kept building and building, and I was, you know, giving Courtney time checks, you know, how far it was back to Caroline, how far it was back to Caroline. And then Amanda caught Caroline, and I was like, oh God, this could be bad, you know? And so I just kept an eye on that time, and it still kept getting bigger. Courtney kept putting time into Amanda as well. So I was like, wow, this is really good. And then for one short period, she actually cut the gap between Nash and Compton pretty significantly. And I was thinking, but that it was kind of near the end when Nash and Compton were kind of, you know, screwing around, kind of like figuring each other out, trying to figure out what each other were going to do. And then they kind of stopped that and got back on it again and basically returned the gap to kind of where it was. But very cool that Courtney got in there and got third, got on the podium, had a race this size. It was a great day. Also, Sonny Gilbert was seventh. And I just wanted to mention overall for the weekend how great Sonny Gilbert did. We don't get a chance to mention her very often. She was battling at the front both days, and it was awesome to see. So I just wanted to throw that out there, how great of a weekend she had, even though she didn't get into the results. So anything you guys noticed about the women's that you want to mention?
Yeah, this is, I think, the race where something happened between Compton and Nash, right? Going into the woods or something? Because at this race, there was almost a 30-second gap between the two of them at the finish.
Something happened to Compton. Yeah, I don't know exactly what. I mean, being back in the pit, it's like you don't get to see, you know, that stuff that happens in the woods like that. But yeah, I heard something happened to Compton at the end. Was that Sunday or was that Saturday?
That was Sunday. Well, there's a 30-second time split between them.
Yeah, because I don't know exactly what happened at the end there. I'd have to check and see from people that were watching it, but. Yeah, so, but again, you know, for the most part, the two of them battling rode away from everybody, and that was that. So, yeah. Bill, comments?
My only comments is that this was a race that being able to follow it, you know, we had the World Series that had just ended, and this was sort of similar to, you know, it was very similar to following a baseball game, except instead of a radio, you were just doing it on Twitter. And we had three, you know, separate accounts, the Derby City Cup one, the Raleigh one, and then the Women's CX
team. Oh, yeah. Also, we had Mackenzie was not racing for us, and she did a live tweeting of
she
it.
She did
yeah,
an awesome
cool.
job. I mean, she did Sweet. An awesome job.
Awesome.
And that's kind of what I'm saying is that this was a great, because of all of that, it was a really easy race to follow. And it's this place that we're at now, and even, you know, Raleigh was putting up little videos every once in a while. I think Mackenzie may have been doing that as well. So you got these little glimpses of what was going on, and then just really, really good. Not only here's your top three, but also a little bit of commentary about what was happening in the race, which made it really exciting to follow along. And it's this really perplexing place that we're in, where we've taken this step backwards from live streams. You know, we went from BTB TV that put in tons of money to get quality live streams, and that was great. Still not the level of Europe, but far greater than anything we've seen since, you know, they went under.
Yeah.
Which I guess was Austin Nationals. That was the last race that they broadcast.
Right.
And then we'd get some other, you know, I know these guys are trying hard, and I'm not, you know, crapping on any live streaming companies out there, but it's not the same, you know, and the camera operators aren't as good. The equipment isn't up to snuff with what we'd like to see. And it almost takes away from the coverage. Like you're watching it and it just makes it look even worse. So it's just this odd place that we're in now, that we're back to really good. You know, it seems like people have stepped up on the social media, Instagram, everything else, little, you know, live stuff, and the Twitter. And I don't know. I just wonder if what you guys think about it. I'd love to see it go back up to where BTB TV is at, but I can tell you right now, you're looking at $300,000 for the season of C1s to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it'd be very cool to see a stream. I think it's great. Like when we're all watching a race over in Europe and we're all sitting there streaming and we're all tweeting while the race is on, I think that's a blast. You know, so it's great to have both, you know, have people live tweeting, the fans tweeting amongst themselves, and then be able to have some video that you can watch. That would just be awesome. I mean, yeah, where are you going to get $300,000 from?
Yeah, I mean, you need a sponsor. You need a big time sponsor. But then you also need, on top of that, then you would need race organizers to also, if you want to make a succeed, race organizer have to develop their courses based on TV angles as well.
True.
And that some of the races that we saw this year, notably Cross Vegas, which kind of moved all the action into the bowl.
Right, to do that, yeah.
To do that. I mean, that wasn't the only reason to do it, but it also really lends itself well to that. To some extent, Jingle Cross.
Yeah, Cross is the thing that, you know, and again, I thought that they did a really nice job, but I also think that the coverage did not do the course justice. And that there were certain things that when I was walking around filming it, and I'm not saying I know it better than anybody else, but I was just seeing these angles, you know, that especially you could sort of flip around and get two or three angles at the same time that really looked more European. It looked like the kind of stuff, you know, instead of riders riding across the horizon, which you really don't see as much, is more seeing these straight on shots. And I think there was a lot of opportunities, which was a lot more dramatic, that was missed. And it's that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. It was just something I was thinking about with the social media coverage that I thought was really, really good. And I really loved it. And I was truly on the edge of my seat, you know, with both of the women's and the men's races when they were close, you know, just following these Twitter feeds.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you can actually like understand about what's going on, especially if you have like two or three people doing it, and if there's little videos included, you really get a really good understanding of what's going on, I think. So, but I was going to save it until we talked about Rudevord, but since we're talking about this right now, the cable cam at Rudevord was amazing.
Yeah, and
that's the kind of stuff that's next level, man. That thing's flying around, going through. Did you see when the one shot where it would go through between the two flags?
Yeah.
There was like two flags and it would like come between them. I'm like, holy crap, this is just amazing. I mean, you felt like you were hovering above the course, or at least I did watching that. So, yeah, I think stuff like that. And that gives you, I mean, while I'm sure a cable cam is very expensive, and I believe they had one at Jingle, right, Bill?
I think they had
a cable cam at Jingle Cross.
I can't remember.
But I know that's very expensive, but at the same time, it could also replace, because of it can move, it could replace three or four other cameras.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of the course that you get to see from that cable cam is huge, you know, so very, very cool thing that we're seeing more and more of over in Europe.
It's the cranes. We don't have any cranes.
The cranes,
US.
Yeah,
the cranes just give you so much coverage.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, no, that's a good point. Just to round it off there, since we brought it up about day one, for the juniors, in first place was Denzel Stevenson. Second place, Lane Maher. Is it Maher or Maher?
Lane Maher.
Yeah, that's what we're going with.
And
Maher.
Third place was Ross Elwood. So we'll get those in there. So, all right. You guys want to move on? Anything else you want to talk about Derby City Cup day one or day two? Anything?
No. Has there been any big movement in the Pro CX standings? I don't really look at them much.
What? The what?
Is that a U.S.? Is that a U.S.
There's,
thing?
There is that. That is a thing.
I think at the end of the season, somebody gets like more media coverage or something. I think that's the prize.
All right. Well, let's move on to Rudevord. Rudevord is the super prestige number three, which is crazy. We've had, we had Zonhoven was the last one. And then before that, it was Casting, right? Were the first two, and now we got Rudevord. And then this weekend, we've got Gewehr. So, you know, we'll be on to the fourth Super Prestige race. So, for the results, for the men in the Super Prestige, first place was Matthew Vanderpool. Second place, Wout Van Aert. Third place, Lauren Sweek. Fourth place, Kevin Powels. Fifth place, Jens Adams. Did you get to watch the stream, Bill?
No, I just saw little bits and pieces of it. My biggest question is, what the hell is going on with Matthew Vanderpool?
He's only 3 for 3.
What do you mean? With the Super Prestige? Yeah, this is interesting. We were going to talk about the Super Prestige series for a minute, but the top three in this race have been the top three in all three Super Prestige races.
But he's mailing it in like in Copenhagen Cross, so I guess he only cares about the Super Prestige.
I guess.
So they flip-flop. I think, you know, maybe there's a little gentleman's agreement going on. I
think so.
Yeah, you win this one, I'll win that one. Okay. No, I don't think
the other, you know, the conspiracy argument is that they're just resetting the betting odds.
Could very well be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, when from watching it, you know, there was Vanderpool, you know, Wout was at the front at the beginning. Vanderpool takes the lead. Wout catches him, goes back to the front. Vanderpool retakes the lead and is able to hold on there. And then at the very end, right near the end, Wout drops his chain again.
Maybe it still needs to be even shorter.
Yeah.
And it gets, I think
K-Edge is his new sponsor, so, no?
So Root of Order is basically, this is the one that is just basically takes place in like a couple people's backyard.
Right.
And yeah. it's in like the space of a postage stamp, but just has like seven flyovers and tunnels and drainage ditches. I don't remember
drainage ditches.
Oh, it just seems all these little humps seem like they just go over drainage ditches.
Right. Yeah. 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 And, you know, I think JB Hancock was saying, was Rutavord where we first coined the term of Silver Surfer for Matthew Vanderpool? I don't remember.
I had to go back and check. I take JB's word for it, but I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no,
the
drain is just, it's this little, the gully, you know, where they go down on those little bridges that go down. Like you go down to the bridge.
Yeah.
Those things are just crazy.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But it was actually a pretty exciting race. I had a good time watching it. And I think Vanderpool was clearly the better guy that day. And you know, he basically, when Wout took the lead, I was pretty sure Vanderpool was going to be able to come back on him, and he did. And then we were kind of robbed a little bit of a you know, sprint finish or something like that at the end with that. And I think Wout's chain actually got jammed down between the frame and the chain ring. That's what it looked like. He kind of spun it for a while, had to hop off, hopped on, hopped back off.
It was another weird thing. It's like when he was like riding up a hill and then,
yeah,
it didn't look like he did anything necessarily. Maybe he just, you know, I don't know.
He bounced it. I mean, that hill was not a smooth hill. It was bouncing around pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's the men's results. We'll go on to the women's results.
I did get somebody concerned that, you know, when he does spin it at the end before getting back on it, that there was a motor in his bike.
Oh, man.
I know people
that
are watching.
That never happens in cyclocross.
But, I mean, I've seen all those videos and people are saying, oh, look, Wout's rear wheel is spinning and he's not pedaling. I don't see that. I mean, I see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think it's just spin that's already, he's already put, it's never like this thing where he's sitting there and the wheel's just spinning away or something like that. It's always like right after he's put in some effort onto the crank, onto the pedals, and then stops, and it's almost like the wheel gets delayed for a second, like it's caught on something, and there's this built-up tension on it, and then it spins or something like that. So I don't see any clear evidence in video of anything like that, in my opinion. But I know, Bill, I hear that all the time, too. It's like, oh, come on, guys. So I'm not saying someone somewhere isn't doing it, but, you know.
It's a mess we've brought upon ourselves.
We need better evidence than that before we start accusing people. So, anyways. All right, for the women, first place was Sophie DeBoer. Second place, Sané Kant. Third place, Ellen Van Looy. Fourth place, Alice Maria Arzufi from Italy. Very cool. And in fifth place, Christine Majeris from Luxembourg. So top five, Sophie DeBoer getting it done. Very cool to see. Sané Kant getting kind of returning to form a little bit with that second place, but it was 57 seconds down from Sophie DeBoer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pretty dominant performance there by Sophie DeBoer.
And I think what we'll talk about, you know, with that St. Nicholas race is that we're starting to get into Sané Kant cyclocross conditions.
Yeah.
We really haven't seen until this, you know, just this last week or so.
Part of that, Bill, was the difference maker between second and third, because she was riding right with Ellen Van Looy, and Ellen Van Looy was looking strong when they came into one of the final right-hand turns, and Ellen Van Looy's bike got out from her.
Yeah.
And she went down hard on her right side, and Sané Kant managed to ride away from her pretty strongly.
Yeah, but I think Sané is like mud and sand. Bring it on.
Yep.
more of that, please.
She's ready.
Yeah. Enough of these climbing courses.
She's just chomping at the bit for that. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's move on. U23 at Rudavorta. It was in first place was Quentin Hermans. Second place, Eli Easerbeat. Third place, Joris Nieuwenhuis for Rabobank. And fourth place, Yannick Peters. Fifth place, Nicholas Klepe. I don't know. For Telenet Fidea. So Quentin Hermans, Eli Easerbeat, still cream of the crop for U23, guys.
Yeah, those guys are having a nice little battle week to week.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be cool. I'm anxious for them to get it on at Worlds and at some World Cups.
It's going to be interesting because this is sort of the place, and I don't think they're at the level that Wout and Matthew were at a couple years ago. But it will be interesting to see. Remember when we weren't sure a couple years ago? Also, we thought that, but weren't really sure. And then those guys started jumping into these elite races at the end of the year. And it was like, holy cow.
Crap.
They're faster than everybody. You know, which we sort of were getting an inkling of because we'd look at the lap times and be like, oh, the U23s are going faster. And they're like, well, shorter races and this and that.
Yeah.
So, but just to say, you know, we talked about that and this whole young guns with Swick and all those other guys who like were just amazing. I don't think that these two guys are at that same level. Not to say that they won't be top 10 riders in the elites once they go there right away and move their way up. But I don't think we're looking at two more phenomenons like we did with Van Aert and Vanderpool.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. What do you say, David?
Yeah, I mean, they are strong in their fields, but they don't dominate the way that Wout and Matthew did.
Yeah, no, agree. So, okay, there's juniors. Just really quickly, I'll give the top three. Tone van de Bosch. I don't know how to pronounce this. Gila Camps. Was in second place, and Niels van de Puta.
We normally don't talk about the juniors, but you just wanted to get those names in.
Yeah, well,
you're like taunting me
because
I had to do it last week, you're like, oh.
You know, I think we should just go back to David doing it every week.
Okay, that'd be fine with me. then I can be the fun maker, not the joke. but we've talked about juniors before. I like to just get those names out there because those are names we start to hear slowly start to hear as they move up into the lead. So,
practicing, maybe we can pronounce their names by the
right,
time.
Right, exactly.
So here is one of our listener mail questions that get. But since we're talking about the junior men and just with the rise of the excitement in the races in the women's and now the U23 women's, when will the UCI wake up and have a junior women's field as well?
When will they, you know, even more importantly, when will they wake up and have like more U23 women's races?
Yeah.
It's so hard for events to even say, like, I know people that have said here in the U.S., I want to have a U23 women's UCI race. And it's like, well, no, you can't do that. What? Why? Yeah. Is it there or isn't it there? You know, so that is still a problem even. So juniors, I think, is a long ways away still. I think it's...
Yeah. Even for, you know, I mean, even you would think just for Worlds, you know, you have a whole weekend and right now you have five races for the whole weekend.
Uh-huh.
You can do six.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, I mean, a legitimate question is, would the fields be big enough to warrant that? You know, right now, you know, the junior women are mixing in with the U23 women, and the field still, it isn't as if that field is bulging at the seams as it is, right? So, you know, at some point, you got to be like, okay, we need to have enough riders to warrant another race.
Well, it would be dominated by American riders that will then just piss off the Europeans, and then they'll start building their women's junior programs, and then we'll have like real competition.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. That would be great. I mean, however it happens, I'd be all for more junior women's. Anything that gives a path for young athletes to move up into elites, I think is a good thing, men or women. So
America can dominate in. I think that's good. Make America cross again.
That's right. I think it's a ways off though before there's a separate junior women's field. What about you guys?
No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like at least 5 years.
We're only what, 1 year into a U23 women's field.
Yeah. But I wish it could be sooner. I wish it could be sooner, and I wish it was now. You know, but I realistically, I think we're a ways away from that, unfortunately. So no, but that was a great question. Great question.
The other person, you want to know the other question from this person? Well, there's four.
Sure.
But here's the other one that's sort of almost in line with what we're talking about. Why does UCI provide individual and national rankings for elite men and elite women and junior men, but only national rankings for U23 men and U23 women?
That is a great question. It's almost like we've asked ourselves that.
Oh, we ask ourselves that every week. It's like, it's infuriating. It makes no sense. I'll bet there's no reason.
It's because the web guy hasn't thought to update that on the form on the website or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll and bet. He hasn't.
Write the code, Bill.
Yeah.
He's not a listener of the show and he hasn't heard us.
Law school, David?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Forget it.
Law school, computer programming. It's just same.
They're not.
It's all languages.
One does not beget the other. But I think that, okay, I'll test this after we stop recording. I will just send a tweet out there asking the UCI why they're not out there. I get okay luck with them responding to me, so we'll see.
Well, they know that you have the inside line to Micah Rice. So. You guys laughing at? That's Micah Rice, damn it! He once had a very popular edition of.
I don't know if we should bring that. Hang on a second. I don't want to upset Micah. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, he's hanging on a ninth by a thread.
See, he's still top 10.
Yep, still top 10.
Well, but, you know, 10. Once this show comes out, he'll be down to 10 in no
time. I think that's true.
That's your hope.
True. Were you going to do another question, Bill?
There are other ones on this sheet, but they're not really what we're talking about now. So
all right, well, quickly,
I have other questions that are more in a line. I just got to pull up that other email. So, go.
All right. Well, so before we do that, I just want to do really quickly, since we're talking super prestige stuff and we talk about finishing up here with Ruta Vuorta. Just look at some super prestige overall standings. Now, I just mentioned that, you know, Vanderpool, Wout van Aert and Lawrence Sweek have finished 1, 2, 3 in all the races so far in the super prestige. So obviously they are the top three in the overall for the elite men for that. Fourth place is Jens Adams and fifth place is Klaus Vanternout. David Vanderpool is sixth. And then it goes down from there. So interesting stuff there. I think, you know, this is one of the things with the super prestige. Vanderpool's won 3 out of 3, but he still only has a 3-point lead on Wout. So, you know, with some race where something happens where he finishes more than 3 places away from Wout and we're all tied up again. So,
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, how about Klaus Vanternout pretty much quitting cyclocross last year and now just having this rebirth out there?
Yeah. I mean, fifth in the overall, he's doing great. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. Was there anything else you wanted to say about that?
No, I was going to, I just wanted to completely derail you for that very small thought. So mission accomplished.
Yay. Real quick. And hey, you know, I want to give it up too for Super Prestige. They are, you know, there's always been an issue and they've always been, what's the word I'm looking for? Criticized for their dealings with women's racing. And it seems to me like they're trying to move in the right direction. I don't think they're quite there yet. I think there's still room for improvement. For instance, on the website, if you look for results or standings or something, it says elite. And then the next category under elite is women. It's like, be elite men. Yeah. Elite men, elite women would be nice because the women are still elite, you know.
Hey,
so there's just
so you watched that stream live.
I watched the men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the women televised?
I don't know. If there was a feed for it somewhere, I didn't see it. And yeah. I actually missed like the first 3 minutes of the men's race even. So I didn't look for it.
It is nice that the Super Prestige is now back and available on the internet, because last year it was behind the, you know, it was the Play Sports and you had to have a
Telenet cable box to be able to watch it.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We didn't see any of those. I mean, they're not even like pirated versions on YouTube anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's nice. And, you know, they've included the women's stuff in there. You can find women's results on the website as easily as you can find the men's results, which you didn't used to be the case. You had to, you know, you couldn't even find women's results on the website. It was terrible. Whereas now there's, you know, you can find who's the overall. You can find results of individual races for men and women. So I think that that's an improvement and that's good. But I think they just need a few more, a little bit more of what they're doing. So in the women for the Super Prestige, for the overall, first place is Sané Kant. She's got two wins and a second place. Second place is Ellen Van Looy. Third place is Laura Verdanschut. Fourth place, Sophie DeBoer. Fifth place, Nikki, I don't know how to pronounce her new last name yet. Is it Bramier? Nikki Harris?
I think it's Bramier.
Bramier, something like that. So, all right.
Nikki B.
Nikki B.
That's her rap name.
Right. And just, you know, for instance, for the women, Sané Kant has a total of 44 points. Ellen Van Looy, who's in second, has 33. So she's already got an 11-point lead. So that's going to be tough to overcome if she just keeps riding with any kind of consistency. So,
did you guys see the crash from European Championship? That Nikki?
I did not see that yet. I have that race, but I haven't watched it yet. Oof. What happened?
Oh, I don't know. So they're coming up the starting chute, and there is a slight left-hand turn at the end of the start, and they're coming up in a pack, and Helen Wyman is sitting probably, you know, if we're looking at it, she's like third or fourth from the barrier. And she's looking over, I'm turning this all around now, she's looking over her right shoulder, so away from that barrier, and looking to see what like Kant and the leaders, who are only like half a bike in front of her, you know, sort of, it looks like she's just sort of getting a look at what's going on in the race, and starts to just drift over towards that barrier to make the turn without ever turning her head. And while she's doing that, Nikki is just shooting up on her left, like not squeezing, like there's a lot of room there. And she just never sees her and just rides right into the back half of Nikki's bike. Just keeps drifting over into it. Zoop,
yeah.
Bam.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, but it really looks like, you know, her focus was just not to the left of her, it was to the right of her, and she just didn't think anybody was there and moved over and just right into the back of her bike.
Yeah. It doesn't sound that far away from
Wyman. I mean, Wyman just goes straight down. It's just like, bang. Down.
Yeah. Yeah, from Courtney's crash at Cincinnati that you guys talked about last week that Scott was talking about, and man, she did that. There's a video of it out there. I don't know if people have seen it, but I didn't even know what happened. I'm in the pits, and she tells me afterwards, "Oh, did you know I crashed?" I'm like, "What?" She never came in. Her bike was fine.
Wow.
You know, shifter a little bit tweaked, but not. I mean, just turned a little bit. Nothing wrong with it at all. Or brake. It's actually just a brake lever because it was her left one. Everything fine, and I never came into the pit. I didn't even know anything about it until I saw it on the video that the next couple days. So, but yeah, same thing. Flipped. I mean, wheels in the air, flipping over, and she just. And we kind of joked because Courtney happened to do it at a nice place at the bottom of an off camber where everyone was in line. So when you crash right there, you basically stop everyone.
Right.
Right. Except, and it was Amanda that was in front of her. I think Scott Miss said it was Katie, but it was Amanda. Katie was right behind her, and she effectively stopped the entire field until she got back on her bike and then was
nice. That's the basically way to do
didn't.
It.
Yeah, didn't lose any ground at all. So, all right. Do we want to talk about St. Nicholas and the mounting boards?
Yes.
Yes.
Because that is that is a listener question from not only listener, but purveyor of the Double Dan show, Dan Chabanov, writes in. What did you guys think of the remount planks from the Soudal St. Nicholas race this past weekend? Is it akin to putting water on the course?
But water on the course as in spraying down riders in Rochester, or water on the course as in
probably creating mud, I would
creating
guess.
Mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be the opposite in one sense of creating mud.
Because it's making it easier.
Because it's making it easier.
Sure.
It's making it more rideable.
Yeah.
Rather, and I mean, going all the way back to your very early point, Bill, about how to start thinking about our races as spectacles for a televised or a broadcast audience. Having someone run up and down in the sand is not as exciting or isn't what people want to watch as much as it is them riding through sand.
Right.
So putting a 180 or nearly 180.
Well, and let's explain why the 180 in the sand really existed was to show off the sponsor's truck
the
Nissan truck that was parked in the middle of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which meant it wasn't a true 180 then.
Because there was a 179 again.
Well, they were going around the pickup.
No,
truck.
It was a right turn, right? So it was a right turn, and then on the other side of the truck, you made another right turn.
Yeah. And then
I don't know.
Describe first what we're talking about, David.
So they had a looked like maybe a 4x8 sheet of plywood there.
Yeah, something about that.
Yeah, like five or six of them.
Yeah, a bunch of them
that were, and they created, it was like double wide in the beginning, and then got down to a little like exit chute as it re-entered the sand again, where a number of riders would go around the truck, run the bikes around, and then remount almost like from this, like a dock getting on a boat going out on the water, right?
Right.
Roll the bike up beside you. You're standing on that wooden plank, jump up on the bike, and then as you exit that area, it goes down to a single board wide. And you continue riding, and then you're back in the sand again.
And I think you're right. That was the purpose of it, because it was this terribly long run on this St. Nicholas course or Wasland course, Wasland Cross course it's a beach. You know, I mean, you got tons of sand on it, so there's a lot of running. And the women's race was even more running, and it just looked miserably hard. So this is one of these long running stretches that then, once they made the turn, by having these plywood boards to be able to get their bikes on solid ground, jump on them, get up a little momentum on the rest of the plywood planks, and then sort of shoot through that next sand section, meant that they were able to ride out of it instead of just continuing to run for another minute, you know. So,
yeah,
understandable why the organizer would want to do that. And again, you know, we always talk about your course has to be wider than 3 meters wide at least, and this one was probably two or three times that, but it doesn't mean that that whole 3 meters has to be rideable.
Right.
So, no. But yeah, I sort of letter of the law, I'm not sure that this is something that I've ever seen in cyclocross.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have I only saw the clips of that little part. I didn't know. So I don't know how it affected the race as overall. I didn't have a huge problem with it. But at the same time, I hope we don't see a lot more of it. You know,
no.
It's like one of those things that, okay, yeah, I see it's a little bit quirky on that one
now,
turn because of how they had to set up the course. But
well,
man, I hope we don't see a lot more.
Question for you.
Uh-huh.
If you took that and you also had to take a tequila shot, would then it be okay?
Only if there's a choice between going through the sand or going through a pinwheel.
I was just going to say that.
Oh, that's coming up this weekend. You did see that, didn't you, David?
I did see that.
Yeah.
What? Then that's at...
Neil. Jamarca Cross.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And now there's some... I remember seeing somewhere there's a talk of a double pinwheel.
Oh my goodness! How well, like what does that mean? You go the opposite way to cancel out the dizziness.
To their credit,
the entire, because there's your mile and a half of course is all in the pinwheel. You get the entire distance of the course without ever leaving the center of the course.
I do
just
like,
have the pit at the center of the pinwheel.
I do like that. There's a Pacific Northwest. You know, you have like the spiral of death. They call it, there's a Pacific Northwest race. I should look up which one it was, but it's the spiral of rest.
It is. There's no passing in the
No. Hey, Tom Mason said it's pretty difficult too, and you got to stay focused, or else you're just going to run into the wall. I mean, it was like the biggest like PR quote ever.
You
got to
keep
amazing.
Turning left, or,
yeah,
or you
exactly.
don't know what'll happen.
But I have to say that there, and we have gone way off track here. We're talking about a race that has a whatever you want to call it, pinwheel, spiral, death, bad course design, which is usually a pretty fun course at Neil. Course, but I will say that how they did it, it looks better than any U.S. pinwheel that I've seen, because they're not using tape. They actually have fencing, so it actually looks sort of cool.
Mm-hmm. Bring us right back to France of last year with the rat maze course.
Yeah.
Pinwheels are one of the few cyclocross things that actually look cooler without riders. As soon as people start riding it, you realize, oh, this is boring as hell.
Oh, yeah. It's just a mess.
Yeah,
but that, it looks you know, cool. It looks cool just set up, and then it's like, oh, this.
And that's why they were like, it's a spectator spectacle. I'm like, no, it's not. It's just
waste. It's boring.
But yeah. Hey, I'm glad that you know some U.S. cyclocross innovations have infected. which goes back to this segue. It's a good segue right here. It goes back to the St. Nicholas race we're talking about. Mason, who won the men's race, comes up the finishing stretch and has enough time to take at least a minute high-fiving everybody on the finishing stretch.
Yes, I saw that.
He's on the left doing it. He moves over to the right. He moves back over to the left again. And then, you know.
Where does he think he is? Jingle Cross?
Exactly. Exactly.
The things they learn by racing in the U.S.
Uh-huh. And the fans. It's no more little golf claps. They're actually showing some sort of emotion for a rider. It's good.
Did he have his jersey unzipped?
No, he didn't. He's all zipped up. And I don't, maybe he wasn't working hard enough. Not a lot of pain faces. Only one little thing to jump. But the fun thing about that race, at least for me, and I just put up right before we started recording one of these little mini Svennesses on my Instagram feed at CXHairs, was the Jim Aaronauts. And I don't even know if Mason needed this, but there was, like, in the sand, he worked really hard to get into the front of the lead pack for the sand and then just basically puts on the brakes.
It took a left turn.
Well, and that was the second
one.
The first,
I'm going to park here now.
the first one, he's just riding through the sand like he's on a preview lap. He's just like, all right, I think about this. If I was going to attack, maybe about here. And everybody is just like queued up behind him, and there's only one line, and they're trying to get around him, and they can, and Mason is just like increasing his lead. And then there was like one little hard up that Mason goes up, and about 10 seconds later, I think Peters actually snuck through. So he was the one guy chasing, and then Aaronauts was third. He goes up, and he basically turns his bike sideways at the top of it and just sits there for a second and then gets off. And everybody's just like, you know, it's just log jam behind him. Like
and he says, this is not a problem.
Yeah, it's, you know. Yeah. It was just like, this is good. This is like, this is the Telenet team tactics we can look forward to going in and races to come.
All right, Bill, you got any other questions?
Yes, I do.
Hit us.
All right.
David can't wait to answer them.
Okay. Oops, nope. That was some marketing email.
This is good. We got to get more.
While he goes, I'm
going to
go on my rant.
Okay.
Oh, God.
My St. Nicholas rant.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit before you hit record. But what's with all the Christmas references prior to Thanksgiving?
I know.
Whether it's Jingle Cross or St. Nicholas, wait. You guys, especially in Europe, you have your whole Christmas week. We don't need to rush to St. Nicholas.
It's like they got their cyclocross Christmas races up before Halloween.
There you go. That's what we're talking about.
Playing the music.
Yep.
Are you done, David?
It's okay to say happy holidays. No, it's not. We're not going political. We're not going political. There we go.
All right. Here, questions.
Hold on. I got to give you my language lessons. Language lessons. St. Nicholas. I learned how to say game over in Dutch. Did you listen, Bill?
Yeah, it's game over.
When Lawrence Week had his chain issue, you learned in Dutch, it's game over.
Game over.
We've all been speaking Dutch this whole time. Yeah. And never even knew it.
You know?
Amazing.
Like, well, you know, it goes
for a croissant, and they knew what I was talking about.
It goes along with my favorite cyclocross announcing sports. No, it's Houston. I think we have a problem. Like, I'm starting to really understand this.
You heard that like on Sporza or something?
Oh yeah.
That's
okay.
Great.
All right. These are.
In no particular order.
This is a domestic cyclocross question that I think is ground we I don't hold your goods. Ground we have covered before.
All right.
Where is the line between banning marshmallow throwing and hand ups are not a crime?
The throwing, I think, is a big part of that line.
Yes.
Throwing, don't throw anything.
Yes.
God, it's that simple. Don't throw any, unless it's a, you know, like there's a race in Detroit, right? Called the DCCX. They have a specific.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Restraining order.
DICX. I'm sorry.
As a quick aside, there is, somebody sent this to me. There is now a strain of marijuana being sold on the line from the San Francisco area that is labeled DCCX.
Wow.
I know. I think we need some legal action. Okay. Continue.
And they have a specific marshmallow throwing zone, right? It's an unsanctioned race.
Right.
They do all kinds of crazy stuff.
It's like single-speed world championships.
And kids, right, and kids go there and they throw marshmallow. Okay, that's completely different. Unless it's that, don't throw anything.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Yes.
Okay.
And hand-ups are not allowed. It's that simple.
I know that's coming to me because hand-ups used to be this thing that I thought was silly and would promote, but I'm kind of over it. I just go out there and race and, you know, stop sticking beer in people's faces.
Like, yeah. I mean, again,
we can all drink after the race if you want to have a drink.
But we don't need that fraternity attitude of forced drinking.
Yeah. Don't bring that to a UCI race.
Definitely not.
Or even a USAC race. If it's an unsanctioned race and that's what you're doing, it's awesome. Keep doing it. But don't bring that stuff.
And I'll tell you, I'll even go so far as if you want to have it at a USAC race, if the venue allows for it or whatever, that's cool. Hand out there with a cup. Don't give a rider a hard time if he rides by your cup.
Yes.
That's where I draw a line on that stuff.
We are just no fun, are we?
No, we're not. We're old. I'm old. You're not old yet. Hey, when I used to race more, I'd get to the top of the hill and I would grab a cup full of beer and drink it or whatever. I was cool with it.
You were dying of thirst.
I was dying of thirst. I was working hard out there. I mean, I raced for the beer. But that said, if I choose not, I don't want to get taunted or have it thrown at me or pushed at me. If I'm racing, I'm racing.
Yeah. What are you trying to say, Dave?
All right.
I'm a racist.
What happened to cyclocross costuming? Is this a good or bad development?
Nah.
You mean like people, like crazy people at the back of the pack wearing costumes and stuff?
I think so. Isn't that still all of the Cross Crusade?
Yeah, I mean, they still do that there, I'm sure. I've seen a couple things like that. There's been a couple specific races where it was kind of encouraged throughout the races that I've been going to in the U.S. this year. But nothing, you know, nothing in the UCI races. There's, you know, I've seen a little bit. But, yeah, again, let's have specific races for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's great. It's fun. It's a blast. I love single-speed worlds. I think it's great. But let's just keep all that in that and then have professional racing and UCI races.
How about the single-speedo race?
Oh, no.
Again,
speedo. What is it? Yeah. Or just single speedo. Just
single speedo.
I had it right the first time.
It's a separate race. It is still at that event. I don't know. The crowd seems to like it.
That's the Midwest, right?
I didn't even realize it happened this year at Single Cross. I was distracted and so like going in 100 million directions. So.
Yeah.
Fixing broken tents and. Hey, I'm through the 8 weeks log, you guys. It was crazy. So that's very this that's, week. I'm going to a race this weekend just for the fun of going.
Wow.
It's like, I'm so geeked, man. Oh.
You're not going to know what to do with yourself.
I'm not.
Yes, he will.
David's going to keep me busy.
Yes, he will.
He's already commandeered my generator. I'm bringing bikes so that people can check them out. My van. Yeah, it'll end up being a work. I hope I get to pit for Alex Morton.
Oh, cool.
I do want you. Would you please microwave a couple of things of cup of noodles for me?
If you use my generator for the announcing the power, I won't be able to do it.
Oh, darn it!
See,
I'll just leave it in the bottom of the van somewhere.
I'll make you some noodles on my backpacker stove.
Can you make me an AeroPress coffee with a
that I can do.
Yeah, oh good.
That I can do.
Yeah.
All right, Bill, any other questions?
No. Sonny Kant ran away from the field at St. Nicholas to win that race in the sand.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Oh, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let's
Where are we there? Here we go. Hold on. No need. Been sitting on that all day.
I know, and we almost just ended without it.
Sonic Kant had a great race, but really, Jolene Verschuren worked her way up from pretty deep in the pack to sit with her into the final lap.
You're right.
Only to bobble in that sand there.
No, you're right. You're right. And that was, I guess I was just, yeah. My point being that it was finally Sonic looked good, but yeah. Wow. Jolene. We're just going to call her that now. She looked awesome.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you think that she would be good at riding, you know, being like tiny and being able to ride through the sand and just, she was the only one that was able to keep with her. And it was a late race bobble. And she played it perfectly. She did the same thing. There were a couple grass sections with a couple hills on it. That's her strength. She would bolt out in front of Kant, and then she would get in front of her right before the hard sand sections that she couldn't ride, and Kant could ride at least like a third of them, and she just forced Kant off her bike. So then it took away that advantage, and she did that a couple times and just played it perfect until Kant finally had enough at the end. And Verschuren, say it for me.
Jolene Verschuren?
Verschuren.
Verschuren.
That was really bad. She just lost a wheel at the end, but
slowly becoming one of my favorite women racers to watch. I'm one of my favorite racers overall to watch.
Yeah.
It's something very captivating about her and seeing how, like you said, she's so tiny and she just is very fast. And gets power, and it's just awesome. I really enjoy watching her race. Last year too, I really thought she was fun to watch. So yeah always. So
in particular, in that camera shot where she's racing right at you.
Oh, with her Niels Albert
like
look
all over the bike, and it's flipping it back and forth.
The jaunty
Niels Albert,
jaunty helmet off to the side.
Yeah, it's like the helmet's too small, which is amazing. With as small a person as she is, how does that helmet not come down on her head?
So I think that this actually brings up an interesting discussion that we don't have this time, I sort of stepped in it a little bit online just about Jolene and her situation being a full-time teacher and, you know, not having a contract with Telenet. And then, you know, the whole discussion about, I guess she had said something that it's not about talking about these full-time cyclocross people and how it's hard to race against them. And then other people saying, well, you can't have it both ways if you don't want to do that. And, but there is a whole, we could do a whole show on, I think, that and Telenet in general, not paying their women and what that means. And also on the other side of that, not Sunweb anymore. Who are they now? Marlux signing two women. To their team, so building their women's program. I think we got a whole show almost just on that side of women's racing in there and what's going on. And I don't know, maybe we'll need to find somebody who can actually answer some of these questions.
Put a call out to Helen.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. We get Helen on. She'd probably love to be.
She's got time these days.
All right,
yes,
guys.
Unfortunately, so go ahead.
So coming up, what do we got coming up this weekend? We got Guevara on the 13th. That's Sunday. That's a super prestige in the U.S. We've got Tulsa Tough. That's a C2. So that's coming up, and I think those are the.
What's
only...
tomorrow? Not that I'll get this out on time.
Tomorrow is is on the Trek site, right? It's the
It's another.
The Vey Day Day.
Vey Day. Day Vey Vey.
Day Vey Vey. Vey Day Day. Man.
Yeah, that's tomorrow
We're
morning.
We're going to get letters.
I believe it's at 7:30 a.m., although this probably won't be out before that, but I believe it's at 7:30 a.m. tomorrow Eastern time. So I'm going to try and
Eastern
check
or Central? Usually the posted times are all Central.
Yeah, the posted Central time is 6:30.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And then, so I just happened to.
You did math.
How quick?
I did maths. Well, you know, with the Australians here, I've been converting everything to metric already. So.
So how many bars is that time?
It'd be funny because I'd say something about. They'd be like, "Oh, is it warm out?" I'm like, "Oh, it's like 60." They're like, "What does that mean?"
It's like that's really hot.
Right. Really hot.
So, all right. And also coming up this weekend, of course, Mr. David Palin, what race is local?
That would be Mad Anthony Cyclocross. For our listeners, because this will probably go up before then, if you only get to one race in the Midwest, in Detroit, in Southeast Michigan, in Michigan, this is truly a unique venue. It's a great race. I happen to work a bit on the course layout this year. It will be a great course for spectators. Hullabaloo, a great horn band that comes to racing, will be there. They have their own Hullabaloo Heckle Hill. That will be a great spot to listen to the music. I'm sorry, Scott. We couldn't get all the bands that we had last year back this year.
That's a shame.
I know Scissor Now was one of your favorites. That's it.
They were terrible.
Hullabaloo is a great, great band. Really
yes, they
well
are.
Received.
They are good. Yes,
we moved
yes.
them up to the top of that hill so you can go up there, enjoy the party that is the band, or stay down deeper in the bowl where you'll still be able to hear your announcers, including...
One of which is Mr. David Palin.
Mr. David Palin. Come out.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm bringing the Women's CX Project, the van. I'm going to have some of the 2017 Focus Mares, Mares CXs for people to check out, including both of Courtney's race bikes that she's been racing all season. So people want to come and check those out. Some of the American Classic, the carbon wheel sets that we've got, if they want to see those and all that stuff, that'll all be set up and you can check it out. So definitely come out to Mad Anthony if you're in this area. So,
a couple questions.
Yeah.
One, will the embrocation station be there if it's like 80 degrees tomorrow or this weekend?
Depends if it's 80 degrees Fahrenheit or Celsius.
Okay, good. Two, do you have to be present or even at the race to enter the raffle to win Wout Van Aert's bike?
I'm not sure that it's Wout Van Aert's bar.
No, we're calling
it. But it is the Colnago.
Okay. Three, why is Fort Wayne historic?
Go ahead. You know what? I know some of the facts, but I'm going to defer very quickly to Scotty D., who is a history buff.
Well, it's only historic from the fact that it's as old as it is. A lot of the regiments in the Civil War actually mustered in and out at Fort Wayne in Detroit during the Civil War. There was never any kind of battle at Fort Wayne, and that's why it's
This war you speak of, that's the war between the states?
The war between the states, yes. The American Civil War. And so ever since then...
I went to school in the South, by the way.
Different military people have been mustering in it. We're mustering in and out of Fort Wayne all the way up, I believe, to World War II.
I think it was actually to Vietnam. Could be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the sense that it's historic. And there was never any kind of battle there. And was never involved in any fighting like that. But it did kind of defend the Detroit River.
It was built, though. Interestingly, now that we're talking about a time where we think it important to prevent people from coming into our great land. It was built to keep the British from invading from Canada.
Exactly. Okay.
That was correct. All right.
Correct. And now the Canadians are building walls to keep the Americans in their own country.
More importantly.
Yes, sir.
If I have an issue with the $5 parking fee, can I talk to Micah Rice about that?
You know what? Let's put Mike. Do you have his number? Let's put that up now. You know what? $5 parking fee to the Fort Wayne Historic Commission is money well spent.
Okay. Absolutely.
It's a full volunteer organization that maintains the decommissioned fort, that does all the upkeep, that does all the work to keep it in its state of repair / disrepair that it is in now, to prevent it from becoming just a true pile of rubble. So $5 is money well spent.
All right.
Yeah, and it goes to the fort, David, correct? It's not going to the Ann Arbor Velo Club or anybody else. It's going to the fort. So,
and it's not going to the city of Detroit. It's right. Not going to Parks and Rec. It's going directly to the Fort Commission that keeps that place there.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be at Rockburn Cyclocross this weekend on Sunday.
Well, you should come over.
Announcing that race. Howard County, Maryland.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Should be fun.
Cool. All right, guys.
I'll tell you, though, Ellie Stern's going to be here, not in Maryland this weekend.
So there you go. And then in a couple weeks, of course, we got CXLA. So we'll have that to look forward to, too. So, guys, thanks for being with me again. Mr. David Palin, where can people get in touch with you if they want to?
You can find me during my day job at Fraser Bicycle, actually presenting the juniors podiums for Matt Anthony Cyclocross.
I swore you said prevented. You're preventing the juniors. You're going to be up there just holding them off.
That's true, yeah.
We stepped into the USAC for nationals and said, too many juniors races. we prevent.
You're the reason.
We're not going there. Otherwise, you can find me for all your new complaints about how bad I am at Mr. David Palin on the Instagrams and on Twitter.
And Bill, what about you?
Yeah. Well, if you want to send in more questions to us, you can.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. Because the show is getting terribly short.
It is. Yeah, we're like an hour shorter than we were with Herman.
Yeah.
And that was with him like falling asleep during half of it too, and he still was talking the whole time.
Yeah, it was.
Sorry, Scott.
That guy, we're not having him back.
Loved it, Scott. feedback at cxairs.com. That is where you can, or you can just fill out the little contact or the sheet at cxairs.com. Also, the website, you can fill that in for an inquiry or just email to feedback at cxairs.com. You can also find me on Twitter at cxhairs. I would love for you to go to Instagram and follow me there. That is where I'm doing a lot of stuff because I don't have... Well, we're not going to get into the whole Svennis thing, but they're little tiny mini Svennises.
They're mini Svennises that are very cool.
Popping up on Instagram. So go check all of those out and tell your friends about Crosshairs Radio. We have had this nice little surge in listeners, and we want to keep growing that.
Yeah, man, it's getting serious now.
Yeah.
No, it'll never
be serious. We have the Battle of the Scots now.
And as always, I am Cyclocross Network on Twitter. Just follow me at CyclocrossNet. And that's the best way to get hold of me. Guys, thanks for doing another They Don't Do That in Europe. We'll probably be back in a week or so to do another one, right?
Yes, we will.
Great.
We'll see you then.
All right, and there you have it, another episode of Crosshairs Radio in the books. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, go visit our friends at CantuWheels.com. Check out all of their custom-built wheels set and pick yourself up a set or two of hoops. Also, HealthIQ, healthiq.com/CXAirs. Go check that out. Fill out the questionnaire. We need those clicks. We've got to beat the Slow Ride podcast on the HealthIQ clicks. Not really, but really. And talking about the Slow Ride podcast, go check out them and all of the other shows on the Wide Angle Podium. Go to wideanglepodium.com, become a member,
donate to all of your favorite podcasts. Tell your friends, share the word, tell them about this podcast too. Go to iTunes if you want, or if you can, or if you're able, and rate and leave us a review. 5 stars and a good review, or, you know, just send me an email instead. You can do that at feedback@cxairs.com. But not just if you're going to complain. Even if you have nice things to do, if you have questions for the show for the next week, also send those to feedback@cxairs.com. Follow me at cxairs on Instagram, on Twitter, and we will see you next week.